The WLEW, News and Public Affairs Department, now presents What Do You Think? Here's your host, Craig Routson, with today's topic.
Good morning. It is currently about 11, almost 12 minutes past the hour of 10 o'clock. Our guest today in the studio is Faith Osentoski, diabetes educator and nurse for Weight Management Institute at Huron Medical Center. We're talking about childhood obesity. It's on the rise, and we all know the cause. It's just getting around to correcting the problem and giving kids a good start on life. So I thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
This is all part of our Parenting Awareness Month programming, and childhood obesity, it is on the rise. From everything I hear, it is, well, getting bigger and bigger, to use a bad expression in this case, but yeah.
Yes. Childhood obesity is a serious medical condition that does affect children, adolescents, teenagers. It occurs when a child is well above their normal weight for his or her age and height. Childhood obesity is particularly troubling. It is on the rise because once those extra pounds start the children on that path to those health problems that we used to only see in adults, such as diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, childhood obesity can also lead to poor self-esteem and depression. One of the best strategies to reduce this childhood obesity is to improve the diet and exercise habits, not only of the child, but also of the entire family.
Is that an important part of this? Is that it really needs to become a family thing? Because kids do by example. When they see their parents do it, then it's what they're going to want to do.
Yes. And we do encourage parents to increase activity, increase their healthy eating habits, set that good example for their children.
They try to do everything they can for the kids, and this is something they can do for themselves as well.
Yes, they can. Protecting and treating and preventing that childhood obesity protects the health of the child now and the child's future, as well as the adult and parent's future.
Is a child who's obese something that, you know, you can just see, or is there stuff that's like borderline that, you know, you'd really need a physician to tell you that, you know, your pediatrician to tell you that this child does need to lose some weight, even if they're active and they kind of are still growing, so the fat's growing up with them?
Yes, and that's actually a very good question. You might not know just by looking at your child if his or her weight is a health concern. Your child's doctor can help you figure out if your child's weight could pose health problems. And to do this, your child's doctor will calculate the child's body mass index, or BMI. And this BMI will indicate if your child's overweight for his or her age and height. They use a growth chart, and they determine your child's percentile, meaning how your child compares with other children of the same sex and age. For example, you might be told if your child is in the 80th percentile. That means that compared with other children of the same sex and age, 80% have that lower BMI. Cutoff points on these growth charts, which are established by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, help identify overweight and obese kids. BMI for age between the 85th and 94th percentile are considered overweight. A BMI in the 95th percentile or above indicates obesity in children.
How do they calculate body mass index? Is that height, weight, and girth or whatever? I mean, there must be
yes.
some type of, because, you know, a kid who's 80 pounds and is 6 inches taller is going to look a lot different having the exact same weight.
Yes, they take a look at the child's weight and they take a look at the child's height. And growth patterns do vary greatly among children, so your doctor will also factor in the child's growth and development into that consideration, and that helps your physician determine whether your child's weight is a health concern or not.
Have we vilified fat? I mean, a certain amount is healthy. You need that for your body to function. So it's not, we don't need everybody, you know, looking emaciated or whatever. It's a healthy weight we're looking for, not necessarily, see the bones type of thing.
Yes, and we're looking for a healthy weight for height, a healthy weight for sex, those types of things. I actually have a quote about the normalization of obesity by Dave Katz, who is the founding director of the Yale University Prevention Research Center. And it talks about, the direct quote from him is actually, "There is further evidence of the normalization of larger body sizes. We might like it to be okay at any size, but the simple fact is that we're not. We are getting diabetes, we are getting heart disease, we are getting preventable cancers, many of them having to do with our size, and that's not okay. And these things are happening in our children, and that's not okay.
And this is something that you're seeing now in the profession, is that things that used to happen when you were in your 30s or 40s are now popping up in kids that are, you know, not out of high school yet because, you know, we waited until we got out of the household to eat bad and build up all this crud in our system, whereas the kids are getting it right from day one.
Yes, and there's several different complications of childhood obesity. There can be physical complications, social complications, and emotional well-being of your child. Some of the physical complications, type 2 diabetes.
That's the insulin kind, or the kind that you can kind of manage?
Type 2 diabetes can be managed with a variety of things. It can be managed with oral medications, it can be managed with diet and exercise, and it can be managed with insulin. Type 2 diabetes in children is a chronic condition that affects the way your child's body metabolizes sugar or glucose.
The insulin is what makes the sugar what we need to process as energy and everything
yes.
we do with our body. And if you're not making the insulin enough because you burnt it out, basically, with all the sugars you're eating, then you end up with this problem, and you have to find a substitute. Either the exercise helps prolong it or the medications to break it down.
Yes. And another physical complication we see with childhood obesity is high cholesterol and high blood pressure. Your child can develop these if they eat a poor diet. These factors can contribute to a buildup of plaque in the arteries, and these plaque can cause those arteries to narrow and harden, which can lead to a heart attack or stroke later in life. Again, looking at that future of the child's health.
But when we say later in life, it's earlier than it, you know, well, I'd say should be, but then it would be for maybe my generation, which didn't grew up on more of home cooking than anything else.
Taking a look, yes, at those health problems that may develop earlier in life because of the poor diet, starting, you know, possibly with preschoolers and kindergartners. I do have some data regarding childhood obesity, and compared with the 1970s, there are 3 times as many kindergartners that are borderline overweight and 3 times as many that are overweight or obese compared to 1970. So starting in those earlier ages, we're seeing this childhood obesity.
Is there things we're doing, you know, are we trying to overcompensate, you know, every time they cry, we give them something when they're young? Are we trying to be their best friend and here, have a cookie, you know, don't feel bad? Are we doing some of the wrong things that are basically putting them on the wrong path?
Taking a look at how a parent can prevent that childhood obesity, there's methods for maintaining your child's current weight or losing weight. Basically,
is that really what you want to do? Is you know, you don't want to maintain the weight because they're growing.
Yes.
It's got to be main, you know, grow with them to the proper thing. But you know, but okay, go on. I just kind of maintaining their weight just seems like everything I've ever seen about kids is they get bigger.
They do, and as they grow, maintaining that proper healthy weight for height, basically. We like to think about eating habits and exercise habits as 2 sides of the same coin. When you consider one, you also need to consider the other. So when your child's at risk for becoming overweight, you can take some proactive measures to get things or keep things on the right track. One way with this is the healthy eating. Parents are the ones who buy the food, cook the food, and decide where the food is eating. So even small changes can make a big difference in your child's health.
And eating is, you know, eating at meals, and we're not talking about snacks, you know, constantly between, which usually are the higher fat, higher sugared, and not the best for you kind of things.
Yes. So when buying groceries, choosing fruits and vegetables, convenience foods such as cookies, crackers, prepackaged meals, those type of things, are often high in sugar and fat. Having healthy snacks available is going to make it easier for children to eat healthy if it's available to them. Also limiting sweetened beverages. These beverages provide little nutritional value in exchange for their high calories. They can also make your child feel too full to eat healthier foods. Sugar drinks are the largest source of added sugar, an important contributor of calories in the diet of children. And high consumption of these sugar drinks has been associated with obesity.
And a lot of these sugar drinks also contain, surprisingly, a large amount of salt, which can also you know, do problems with high blood pressure and other complications of being obese.
Yes, taking a look at those nutrition value in those sodas are usually is very little nutrition value, if any, in those sugar,
it's
basically adding extra calories.
It's flavored water with sugar.
Yes.
You know, of some type. And sugar, you know, people think, oh, he's not getting much fat, but sugar can convert into fat because you're trying to store the energy.
Yes, those calories in have to go somewhere. And actually, another study has found that many American children as young as 12 months are already developing those unhealthy snacking habits. So the candy, cookies, sugary beverages that could contribute to obesity and other health problems later in life.
And sugary beverages, we always think of the evil soda pop and stuff, but even just regular fruit juices, I mean, it used to be a treat, but now it's, you know, you get it at meals, you get it in snacks and everything else, and all of this is sugar adding up through the day.
Yes, all of it's adding up, adding on top of those sorts of things. Another way to prevent obesity, especially for parents, is to have kids sit down and make time for a family event, a family meal. And discourage eating in front of a screen such as a television, a computer, a video game, because this tends to lead to lower awareness of how much they're eating and as well as how fast they're eating.
Well, usually that also has benefits within the family itself, eating together. I mean, you're socializing, you're finding out how the day went, and while you're doing this, you are taking longer to eat, and your body may register that you're full before you've eaten as much as if you're just gobbling it down in front of the TV.
Yes. So having that awareness of portion sizes, being aware of what is on their plate. You know, research shows that children can eat more without realizing it if they're served those larger portions. And this means they're consuming a lot of extra calories. So sitting down, having a family meal, serving, you know, the food, having it a portion size, fruits and vegetables, adding those types of things, and having the parents eat the fruits and vegetables as well, showing that, setting that really good example for the kids.
Can food become an emotional crutch? I know with adults, you know, people are upset, they're angry, they want to eat. You know, is that something kids learn? Is this something that they kind of pick up on from their parents, and or is it something that's almost biological that, you know, some people use this as a coping mechanism?
Yes, some children do use that as a coping method. They use it to cope with their problems or with emotions such as stress or to fight boredom. And these parents may have similar tendencies. So again, it's going back to the parents and having them set a good example, possibly using physical activity as a stress reliever or in place of boredom instead of an unhealthy snack.
And it sounds like it could be a vicious circle if what you're nervous about and upset about is that you're overweight and the kids are picking on you, and you go home and you eat more, you're just exacerbating the problem.
Yes. So, another way with, you know, kids and physical activity, talking about coping and those types of things. So how much physical activity do kids need? Children and adolescents should do 1 hour or more of physical activity each day. It sounds like a lot. Don't worry, because all activity adds up. It doesn't have to be a structured exercise. Kids,
it's not an hour at the gym.
No.
like adults who, you know, sit around their desk all day long. I got to work out, so I go for an hour at the gym. Kids do this all day long.
Yes, they do.
Run everywhere they want to go. This is all building up.
Yes, and one way for parents to do that is to emphasize activity, not exercise. So the object is just to get him or her moving. Free play activities such as playing hide and seek, playing tag, jump rope are great for burning calories, improving fitness without actually having a structured exercise program.
Is this becoming more difficult for parents? I mean, in my generation, they just let us go. I mean, you know, it's 9 o'clock, be back for lunch and then for dinner. And they didn't really have to worry. Maybe they were naive back then. I don't know, but nothing ever seemed to happen. But today, parents are really concerned. You know, you hear all the things about, you know, abductions and all the other nasty things that go on. And you want to know where your kids are most of the time. Does this kind of crimp the style for the kids? Because, you know, I can only be active when my folks are around and I can do this rather than, well, the way we did it as kids and just, hey, we're gone, we'll see you in a little bit.
Yes, and one way to almost get around that is to encourage the parents to become active. So maybe make it a family bike ride after dinner, or have, you know, the family go out and play softball or something of that nature, where they're, you know, finding activities that the whole family likes to do, such as going on a nature hike or heading to the nearest neighborhood jungle gym.
And these don't have to be expensive things like getting into some sort of baseball league or something. This is stuff that, you know, you probably have the equipment laying around in the house and you can go out and just grab a ball and do something.
Yes, it can be as simple as if your child likes to read, possibly walking or biking to the nearest library rather than hopping in the car. Those type of lifestyle changes.
Adults, we try not to do high-impact stuff. Kids seem to only do high-impact stuff. Do they burn more doing that than we can keep up with? Or
We take a look at the different intensities for children. So we take a look at moderate intensity, such as brisk walking, or vigorous activity, such as running. When we look at physical activity in children, we look at aerobic exercise. We look at muscle strengthening. We look at bone strengthening. Aerobic activity should make up most of your child's 60 minutes of physical activity each day, such as brisk walking or running, and being sure to include this vigorous intensity activity on at least 3 days per week.
And the bone and muscle strengthening, that would come under nutrition, because in my day we drank milk, and I'm sure I had more than enough calcium to strengthen my bones. Kids nowadays sometimes don't like milk, and they get the other kind of stuff, and they're missing out on the calcium part of it.
Yes, and the other thing, not only with the calcium and the diet part, they can also do muscle strengthening activities, such as gymnastics or push-ups, and we recommend that at least 3 times a week as well to get that muscle strengthening in. And for the bone strengthening activities, push-ups, jumping rope, running, those type of activities to strengthen those muscles and those bones and activity-wise.
And the activities and the good nutrition, they also pay dividends on the children's mind, don't they? I mean, you know, if you're eating wrong and you're not exercising, then you're lethargic and you're just sitting around rather than having energy and thinking all the time, sometimes, about all the trouble you can get into. But we won't go quite that far. But, I mean, it's good for the mind of the child, too.
It is. And some social and emotional complications of that obesity and lack of activity and lack of healthy foods, behavior and learning problems. Overweight children do tend to have anxiety and those poorer social skills than normal weight children have. At one extreme, these problems may lead overweight children to act out and disrupt their classrooms. Or they may cause them to socially withdraw. Stress and anxiety have also interfered with learning, and that school-related anxiety can lead to declining academic performance. Depression is also another complication of obesity.
It's hard to think of kids in depression. You know, I mean, what do you have to be depressed about? You go to school and you have a good time.
Yes, that but low self-esteem builds up into that depression, along with those overwhelming feelings of hopelessness in some overweight children. Some children may lose hope that their lives will improve, and they may become depressed. So either way, depression is as serious in children as it is in adults. And if you think your child is depressed, talk with him or her, and do see your child, take your concerns to your child's pediatrician.
And it sounds like all of this could start as they get older, manifest into eating disorders and all kinds of other things, because they're trying to lose weight, doing fad type of stuff rather than the basic nutritional and exercise program that everyone gets told about, and everyone's like, psh, there's a pill. I can just eat grapefruit and it'll be fine, you know. They get on the wrong track that way as well.
Yes, they do. And that's one reason establishing those healthy eating habits from a very young age and establishing that physical activity and those really good habits and lifestyle habits and environmental habits is really important for children.
Do we set an unrealistic standard for children as they start getting older on weight? I mean, you know, everybody who's a celebrity, you know, has to look a certain way, and not everybody looks a certain way, and you can be just fine the way you are.
Yes, you can be. You know, part of that's the education, sitting down with the child's pediatrician, taking a look at those BMI numbers and those body mass index numbers, and what is a healthy weight for my child and for his or her height and sex and activity level.
And age, because, you know, if you're looking at somebody who's on TV who's playing a person your age who's 8 years older than that can set a whole different standard out there.
Yes, so taking a look not only at age, height, weight, activity levels, those type of things as well.
Now, if parents have this problem in their household, what can they do about it? Where do they get started? Is there information through the hospital? Is there information on the internet? Because you want good information, because
yes.
There's a lot out there, and a lot of it goes back to the, you know, eating grapefruit only for 7 weeks, and it's like, yeah, that's not going to work.
Yes. Definitely they would start with their child's pediatrician and developing that healthy relationship with their child's pediatrician to discuss concerns over weight and health problems and concerns in the future and those type of things.
And he or she can probably tell you about how much he thinks they need to lose.
Yes.
So it's a realistic goal, not, you know, because it may not show up as much, you know, you can see they're visibly thinner, but they just weigh less. And the fat is gone. And maybe
yes.
They're replacing some of this with muscle because they're doing more exercise. So it may not be quite as apparent, but it's a healthier looking weight.
It is. And one way to, talking about child pediatricians, one other way to prevent that childhood obesity in the first place is to schedule those yearly well child visits. Talking to your doctor and having that doctor measure height and weight and calculating BMI on a yearly basis, and taking a look so that it doesn't become many years of overweight in a row, being able to catch it early, those type of things.
Does it start early? I mean, can it be, you know, an infant that's a couple of months old is just being overfed and maybe even started off life with a lot of extra fat because the parents had?
And that's actually a very interesting concern, because another way with prevention and talking about infants, breastfeeding. Breastfeeding has been found to protect against that childhood obesity. However, in the U.S., unfortunately, breastfeeding, while 75% of mothers start off with really good intentions, only 13% of babies are exclusively breastfed at the end of 6 months. So
schedules don't always allow for this. I mean, it's not just, you know, that it's, you know, they don't want to do it.
Yes.
It's, you know, they have to go to work, so, you know, you can save some for the child, but it doesn't always work out.
Yes, and the success rate among mothers that want to breastfeed can be improved through that active support of their family and their friends and their coworkers, if available, those type of things. So,
okay.
Another important thing with kids, like you mentioned earlier, you know, using food as a reward, those type of things.
Yeah, don't do the grandma thing. Oh, here, have a cookie. You've been a good boy. Because all that says is, hey, I'm going to get a cookie out of this.
Yes, so you want to avoid the food-related power struggles with your child. You don't want to provide or withhold certain foods as rewards or punishment. And as a general rule, don't use food for reward or punishment.
So if you don't eat your peas, you're not getting your dessert. Isn't going to be working as well as you think it might?
Yes, those type of things. Encouraging, you know, other ways for rewards.
Do kids have almost a different palate than adults? Because there was stuff that when I was a kid I couldn't eat, and now I eat it. I mean, does it kind of change? Can parents think, well, maybe he won't eat it now, but maybe down the road? So, you know, I'm thinking of broccoli and that kind of stuff. You
yes.
know, usually it starts off, it's a little gnarly for kids, but I like it now, so it's like, you know, something's changed.
Yes, with those vegetables and those fruits, a lot of times kids are scared to try them. They're frightened by them, they're different. They're not possibly as dressed up as cakes or cookies or some sort of sweets would be. And again, it goes back to that parent, you know, setting that really good example and possibly eating those fruits and vegetables in front of that child and showing them, you know, this is a healthy diet and being able to emphasize the positive part of it. You know, the benefits of the fruits and the vegetables and the variety, possibly, you know, a fresh fruit available in the summer, you know, going to a farmer's market, taking a look at those type of things.
I think in my generation, we kind of got to the point where we all thought everything could be solved with a pill. And, you know, we had our multivitamins, so we didn't worry about as much as what we ate. But the nutrition you get from actual food is better than anything you're going to get in a pill.
Yes, that is correct.
So they're not, you know, we're not comparing apples to apples on this. It's a supplement in case you're not getting it, but it's not really the best way to get it.
Yes, the fresh fruits and vegetables will provide the fiber for children. It provides many nutrients, many vitamins, many minerals, those type of things. So
okay. And there is information out there for parents. How do they access some of this? You said your pediatrician.
Your pediatrician would be your first step.
Your first step. And he can clue you, he or she can clue you. I keep saying he and she. Can clue you in on what they think needs to be done and maybe give you resources and directions there.
Yes.
Because there's no Weight Watchers for kids type of thing. This is more of the parents' responsibility to see that their kids are getting a healthy, balanced diet and getting a good start in life.
Yes, getting that good start in life, you know, getting them off to a really healthy start, you know, taking a look at fruits, vegetables, physical activity, the whole diet. And also if the parents are overweight, taking a look at what a healthy weight for them would be. So.
And you could almost make it a family project.
You could.
To, you know, we're all going to lose here, and let's see what we can do as a family, and maybe that'll give the inspiration both ways, both to the parents and to the kids, because, you know, the kids are going to be looking to you to see how much you lost, so, you know, wow, you lost almost as much as I all weigh.
Yes, so taking a look at the family-centered part of it as well.
Which is what kids really look towards, is
yes.
The family to the parents as their center.
Yes, so.
Okay. And if you suspect obesity, see your pediatrician.
Yes, see your pediatrician, you know, consult them with any concerns, any questions. And again, having that healthy relationship with them is going to help with health problems and any concerns in the future.
And what you prevent in health problems could be saving them a lifetime of pills and other types of things that they're going to need to control it.
Yes.
I thank you for being with us today, and hopefully, we'll get some leaner, meaner kids out there to run around and have a good time. Summer's coming, if you look at the weather today, so it's a great day to send them outside and say, hey, get some exercise, kids.
All right, thank you for having me.
Thanks for being with us. Our guest today on the program has been Faith Ostentoski. She's the diabetes educator and nurse for Weight Management Institute at Huron Medical Center. Again, consult your pediatrician if you suspect your child may be overweight, unless it's obvious, and then you should go right away and find out what you can do to help get your kid on a healthier path to life and less problems down the road with some of these nagging conditions and diseases that pop up from it. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will clue you in on all the latest in the news here at WLEW.